Bless the name of the Lord. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, has given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. Don't you love the word? Hallelujah. Those are just not good words that a man can say. Those are words from God, inspired by the Holy Ghost to the church of the living God. Everybody that was at this altar, I wonder if you heard what the prophetess said. I think she asked that you receive something, receive healing or breakthrough. Did she say something? Were those your words? Who received? That's what I was wanting to know. Who received? Because see, we think that, I still feel the same way that I do before I even came up. But did you receive when you got to the altar? This is not a make you feel bad. This is an actual teaching, if you will. To receive is to take into your possession and to say it is no longer God's. It is now mine. If I give Brother Joshua my wallet. Yes, yes. Don't go very far. Let's see. He's part of security. Who's going to mess with him? If I give it to him, it is no longer mine. If he takes it, if I hand it to him and he doesn't take it, it's still in my possession. He can stand up here all day long and I'm handing it to him, but if he never takes it, it's still in my possession. But if he takes it and possesses it as his own, and then begins to open it up and see what's inside, it's like, whoa, man, praise God. Hallelujah. Yeah. Yeah. I received. Well, what did you come up for? Because God is a God of specifics or specificity. What did you come for? And whatever you came for, did you receive it? Yeah, but it didn't. I still feel the same. No, did you receive? It's not mind games. We're not playing mind games. We're not, you know, just trying to, you know, what do they say? You know, brainwash you or, you know, just kind of like manipulate you and make you think something. No, if we had no basis for what we're saying, you could say that. But we have basis for it. Hallelujah. Faith is the substance of things that are hoped for. It is the evidence or the proof of things that are not seen. Faith. You can be seated. Everybody say faith.
Faith.
Faith is the substance. It's the material matter of the things that you hope for. Hope is an expected end. It's something that you desire. You don't desire bad things to happen to you. You don't desire bad things to happen for you. You desire good things. Anybody in their right mind, you desire good things to happen for you. So that hope is an expected end. When I come to the altar, if I've got pain in my back, and the preacher can be up there saying, you know, if you got pain in your neck or pain in your feet or pain in your hand, but you got pain in your back, just come on up here. You know, when he opens up or she opens up and says, come on for your healing, just come on up here. And then when we get to you and say, what's going on? What's happening with you? And you say, my back. And we say, well, we didn't call out backs. I know you didn't. And please forgive me if I'm out of line, but my back is hurting me. I just came up to get a healing. I came up not just to get one. I came to receive healing. And then receive your healing. And then go back saying, by his stripes I am healed. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. By his stripes I am healed. By his stripes, somebody must be having a back pain. But, you know, by his stripes I am healed. But the pain is still there. By his stripes I am healed. So I start speaking to my back, and I start to command it to come into alignment. One brother came up because of the mind and the thoughts, and he's bombarded with thoughts that are contrary to the will of God. And the answer to that, and it was given, it's like, let the anger and righteous indignation rise up against that thought that is contrary to the will of God, and bind and cast that thought out in Jesus' name. The stronger the thought, the stronger the opposition. Your body is not for many occupants. You know, you live here in your body. Your spirit, your soul, your body is one. And the only other resident that you want inside of you as a child of God is the Spirit of God. You don't want pain. Pain didn't come with the package. The Holy Ghost didn't bring pain. The Holy Ghost didn't bring sickness and disease. The Holy Ghost didn't bring worry. The Holy Ghost did not bring anxiety. The Holy Ghost didn't come with a boatload of depression and discouragement, anger and frustration. The Holy Ghost came with wholeness, soundness, power, healing, victory, freedom. Didn't Paul say, for the Lord is Jesus? Come on, Bible readers, help me out. Is that what the Holy Ghost said? Is that what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 3? Come on, Deacon Patton. Somebody knows their Bible. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, ever living to make intercessions for us. But the Holy Ghost is here. And the Lord is the Spirit. So who's Lord over this service? Well, yes, Jesus is the head of the church, and we're a part of his body. But he sent the Holy Ghost. He said, it is expedient, it's necessary that I go. I must leave you. Because if I don't leave you, the Comforter will not come. But if I go, I will send him. And so we have the Holy Ghost here. And the Holy Ghost is Lord. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There is freedom to do what is right and pleasing in the eyesight of the Lord. And so we have the Holy Ghost here, and he's overseeing the service, ministering unto each and every one who has need of ministry. That's the only other occupant you want living and abiding within you. Every other occupant you want to expunge, you want it purged. Jesus says that the Father is the husbandman. Man, it's amazing how the Trinity works together. They don't argue about who's in charge. They don't argue about who has the power, who has the authority. They don't argue about, well, they're talking to you, Jesus, more than they're talking to me. And Holy Ghost, they're over here, you know, talking to you more, and they ought to be talking. They don't do that. They're one. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. They're one, co-equal, co-eternal, coexistent, and they don't get all bent out of shape with each other. They function divinely in perfect perfection. God is the epitome of perfection. Even our Lord being crucified on the cross was perfection. Yeah, when you think about it, it was exactly what the Father required in order to free us from sin. It could not be done any other way. Otherwise, the Father would have told Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane that there is another way, Jesus. You do not have to go to the cross. Our salvation, the epitome of perfection, it happened at the right time, the right place, with the right person. At the right moment, for eternity past to eternity future. That is awesome to me. It's mind-blowing to me. When you think about the plans and purposes of God, when you think about how he operates, he will wow you and blow your mind. You got to know how good your God is. You can just sit in your chair all day and just think about the Lord and how good he is. Hallelujah. Praise God. And make you love everybody. Even your enemies. It's like you're just a dodo. That's all. You just don't know. You're just dumb. If you knew, you wouldn't be doing those things. The Word of God says that. If they had known, what they would not. Come on, Sister Julie, help me preach. Because some of these think that I don't know what I'm talking about. If they had known, they would have never done it. So they're just dodos, people that sit around here looking all kind of goofy and, you know, like out of touch, and they just don't know. You sitting there letting oppression and depression and discouragement and frustration and what people do, you know, our kids, they know we love them, but we don't get all bent out of shape when they do the stuff that they do. And it's not to badmouth them or make them look bad in public's eye, because they're like this. The people that you pastor, they got problems. They be doing stuff too. And my response is always, at least they're in the place where they know they need to be in order to get the help that they need to get. Hallelujah. Some of you offer more reverence for the gifts than even our own blood. Yeah. And they would say, it's, you know, I'm just going to try and help some of y'all out. Yeah, you're down there at that church. You care more about those church people than you do about me. The love and the bond in the kingdom. I had to tell one of my nieces last night. Kingdom family is different from earthly family. It's just the truth. The day that you wake up to the revelation, you'll be free. You're trying to hold on, and there are other souls that are perishing. You're trying to hold on, and they don't want God, and you're trying to hold on. Let them go. What do you mean, let them go? Let them do what's in their heart to do. Perhaps God will either put somebody else in their path that can get their attention and bring them to him, so that you don't spend all your time trying to chase after somebody that does not want God. Amen. Do you love them? Yeah, you love them more than they know. But they don't want God, and you do. And their not wanting God hinders your wanting God. You are limited in your pursuit of God because of this uncircumcised Philistine that is your relative, your husband, your wife, your children, your cousin, your niece, your nephew, somebody that you care more about them than you do about God. Ah! I'm good. I'm good. I told you I got healed in my knees. And that fast, Brother Joshua, I'm telling you, I can't wait for the next one. See what else God is going to do. I thought my knees felt good after November of 2014. After that 7-day fast, they feel even better. I'm like, whoa! Man! Already walking in divine health and healing, and then boom, and it's like, whoa! I got a spring back. I was back on the tread and everything. I'm trying to keep them 17 off that he took off from me during that week. Because they're trying to come back. I mean, 5 of them came after me. Arr! You know, and then they brought 2 more. 7. Oh! Didn't Jesus say he goes and finds how many more? If you'd have asked me, was I going to say that, I would tell you no, because I'm not a comedian. And yeah, they came. They like, who's there? Pounds. Nobody home. Now we're coming in anyways. So, but I'm telling you, there's just too much more to God. And we'll find ourselves loving earthly family more than we love God, and they stifle and hinder our walk with God. Listen, no man, no woman, no children should interfere in your walking relationship with God. Now, others won't tell you that because it's like, well, you know, you got to preach family and you got to preach. Yes, family is of God. And the reason that God established the family is to have a godly seed and inheritance in the earth. Don't ask me why I'm here. I'm just going with it. Because we're not anti-family. At least I know I'm not, and I know Pastor Lucia is not. But I speak on this area more than others do. Why? So that people can be free. God says, I will no longer hold the sins of the fathers against the children. And I will no longer hold the sins of the children against the fathers, or the parents, if you will. God says, now everybody will give an account for their own sins. Everybody's got to come to Jesus as their Lord and Savior. The best thing you can do for your sons and daughters and your family members, spouses, husbands, wife, is to pray for their salvation and deliverance. As you pursue God. Well, they won't come around me. Well, there's God. God says, listen. Jesus said it, but he's God. There is no man who has left houses, father, mother, children, wife, husband. I'm putting husband. Husband's not written there, but if wife is there, husband's got to be there too. For my sake and the gospel, who will not receive 100-fold now and in this time with persecution. A lot of that persecution is going to come from them. Why? Because they want to keep you, and they don't know it, but they're being used by the devil to keep you from fulfilling the hope of God's calling. As a parent, you have the authority given by God to raise those children up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. That's your responsibility. It's not the school's responsibility. It's not the church's responsibility. It's your responsibility. Now, after you have raised them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord, and they decide that they want to go into the world and do worldly things, it's like, okay, just like the prodigal son. What did the father do? No, don't go, Johnny, don't go. What did he do? He came, Dad, I want my inheritance. He said, okay. He never took his eye off of him, but he said, okay. Why? Because they want to go and do their own thing. And why let their frustration become your frustration? When you're of a sound mind, you got a clean heart, you want to live for God, you want to walk for God, why are you all bent out of shape over their rebellious nature? They have a problem with God, not with you. And that has to be dealt with between them and the Lord. The best thing you can do is now intercede, stand in the gap, just like Jesus is standing in the gap. And guess who Jesus is praying for? Jesus tells you who he's praying for. Read John chapter 17. He says, Father, I pray not for the world. Praise God. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world, yellow, red, and black, and white. Red and yellow, black and white, precious in his sight. And Jesus says, Father, I pray not for the world, but I pray for those whom you have given me. We have been given to Jesus by the Father. We are his and he is ours. That's the kind of, those are the kind of messages that, like Jesus says, unless you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you can have no part in me. And a whole slew of them all walked away from him. This man is nuts. I ain't following after him. See, these are those kind of messages, but it's living reality because the Father has souls on his mind. And the only ones that are related to him are related through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Those are his sons and daughters. The others are they're sons of the devil. How can you say that? I believe what the Bible teaches. We're either sons of God or sons of the devil. There is no in-between. We're either the offspring of Satan or we're the offspring of God. We were the offspring of Satan. Satan had influence and access to our lives. The spirit of disobedience worked in all of us. We were children of wrath, separated from God, without hope and without God. Let me tell you something. The Jew without Jesus is a child of the devil. Whoa, he didn't went too far. He didn't lost his mind. There's only one way to the Father. The Jews got to come the same way that the Gentiles got to come, through Jesus Christ. The gospel is being preached to the Jews too. Why is it being preached to them? Because they're going to perish if they don't repent and believe Jesus is the Messiah. They're looking for another Messiah. We're looking for our soon and coming King. So the gospel must be preached in all the world. What did Jesus do? He gave us permission. He gave us a commission. He gave us a mandate. That is an authoritative order that must be carried out in all the earth. Am I preaching to anybody? We all have the responsibility of preaching this gospel to every creature. Whether we do it or not, it's still our responsibility. It's like going to school, going to the classroom, and you have this assignment, and you don't do the assignment. So you think that because you didn't do the assignment, that you're not accountable for the assignment. But when you get in that classroom without your assignment, what does that teacher do? She gives you a failing grade. Hey, if man will do it, how much more will God? I do not want to stand before him and have him give me a failing grade for having failed to preach his gospel. It is not dictatorship. It is lordship. And this, even as Lord, he doesn't lord it over us. And this is a big problem with people. Because of the rebellious nature, we don't fully understand the benefit of submission. We think that submission is an enemy of ours. Under the carnal nature, yes, submission is the enemy of ours because I ain't letting nobody tell me what to do. I don't care what they say, especially that old loudmouth preacher. He ain't telling me what to do. I do what I want to do with my own. See, that is the carnal nature rebelling against the authority of God. The right mind operating in the spirit is this. If God said it, that settles the matter. No debate, no questions. Just do it. Jesus was like this. I always please the Father. Praise God. It wasn't a task or a chore for Jesus to please the Father. It was not a warfare. Well, what about the garden? You heard what he said. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. He always sought to please the Father. He said, what I hear my Father say, I say. What I see my Father do, I do. It's an example and a pattern for us to follow. Jesus is the pattern. His life is the pattern. So the reason we have so many Christians that are messed up now, and when I say that, I'm not trying to badmouth Christ. I mean, badmouth Christians or badmouth the church. But we know because of what we see and we encounter. We know because of what other pastors see and what they encounter. We spend more time trying to encourage the same people over and over again rather than leading them into the battle, into the conflict, into the fight to take possession of the souls of humanity and turn our cities upside down. We have to deal with every excuse under the sun as to why we cannot do what God is calling us to do. We have to find out and dig up different types of sermons, not from the Bible. We have to dig it up from either something online or some social or some psychological message or teaching, if you will. And I love the way Brother Joshua's brother-in-law, Joe, responded to one of the questions that we had in QLM, and he just began to talk about how, you know, they have these sermons, and, you know, it's kind of like secular in manner, and then they take a couple of scripture verses and put that on top of it in order to kind of like seal the message, but it's nothing more than a motivational speech. Well, I just don't think it's my responsibility to make people feel bad. You know, I just don't think that's my responsibility. You are called with the authority to command people to repent of their sins. And I don't know anybody in their right mind who is in love with sin wants to hear the word repent. Nevertheless, repent must take place in order for them to get saved. So they may get all bent out of shape about it, but you know it's the mandate, it's the order of God. John the Baptist, he led the way. What was his words? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's how he began his earthly ministry, and then went out into the wilderness. And guess what? Everybody came to him in the wilderness. He wasn't in Jerusalem at the temple. He was out there in the wilderness. And Jesus is like, what did you go out there to see? A reed shaken by the wind? But what did you go out to see? A prophet? I say, yes, greater than the other prophets of all. There's no prophet like John. John gets beheaded. Prior to his beheading, he's looking at Jesus. He sends his disciples. Go and ask him, is he the one or should we look for another? Because this is getting serious. My life is about to end, and I'm supposed to prepare the way. So let me, you know, find out if he's the one. And Jesus told him, go and show John. Go and tell John this. The blind see the deaf, hear the lame, walk the poor, hear the gospel. The lepers are cleansed, and tell him, blessed is he who is not offended in me. Jesus offends people, but the ones that don't get offended by Jesus are blessed. Hallelujah. Because you know and understand that Jesus is preaching the truth to you in love. He wants to get us saved. He doesn't want to get us to be religious. If you think that it's God's will that we just hold Sunday services and Wednesday services and services that people will choose to come to, you missed the whole thing. God wants us to turn this world upside down for his glory. Amen. Yeah, he wants to turn Antioch upside down. You know, the pioneers of this city had a vision in mind that this city would come under the spirit and the rule of Christ. They prepared the way for it. Named it Antioch after Antioch in Syria, where they were first called Christians. The pioneers wanted to see God move in this land. And here we are today in order to pick up that mantle, pick up that mandate, and carry it out. Hallelujah. But if all we do is focus in on our, you know, frailties and weaknesses, I mean, Pastor Lucy and I, we got some things that we could focus in on. A few, but we got some things. That was funny whether you laugh or not. But we can choose to cater to that, or we can choose to stay focused and keep moving forward in the strength and power of the Spirit in order to be an example for the people to see. Because problems hit everybody. It's called life. It hits us all. But it's all in how you're going to handle or deal with it. You can subject yourself and submit yourself to the problems, the situations, the circumstances, the things that are going on, the wild stuff that keeps happening. You can walk beneath it or you can walk above it. We choose to walk above it. When I say we, you ought to say me too. Praise God. Hallelujah. Choose to walk above this mess, man. This stuff is crazy that's going on out here. The only sanity is in Christ Jesus. And the only way things are going to change is through God's children in the earth preaching and bringing about the change that God gives us power to do. Stand to your feet. I'm done. Hallelujah. Read your post. It's a pretty good one. It's short. I believe it'll bless you to some degree. And read the scripture verse And go and read Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35 on to the end. Because God has called us. And the scripture teaches us that we have received, we got communion. Thank you, gentlemen. It's not an inconvenience. It's appropriate. He says it like this. We, as the people of God, we shouldn't draw back. That's in one of the other verses. But we should keep reaching forward, and I'm going to look it up so I don't ramble. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. Don't throw it away. Don't lose it. Lose what? Your confidence. In the Greek, it means your boldness, your bluntness. You can put faith in there, but it's not talking about faith. It's talking about what God has given you, the ability to believe, the ability to speak. You lose your confidence, you have no recompense of reward. And the scripture says, great. That word great is the Greek word mega. Mega means million. Million times over the reward. So you can't just be timid in your faith. Just because others around you don't believe shouldn't diminish your ability to believe and to speak boldly and courageously, always being willing to give an answer for what you believe. Stand firm in your faith. It has great recompense of reward. Mega. Hallelujah. Glory. So read it. I pray that it be a blessing to you in Jesus' name. And then read the rest of those verses from 35 on in Hebrews chapter 10. Gentlemen, go ahead and pass out the communion. For those of you who won't be back here tonight for evening glory, we will be here tonight ministering unto the Lord, worshiping Him, and whatever the Spirit of the Lord wants to do. If He wants to release healing, we'll be praying for the sick for healing. If God simply wants to prophesy, we will allow the spirit of prophecy to move forward in Jesus' mighty name. But it gets deeper with distance. It's getting better all the time. And we pray that you'll join us. But if not, may you have a blessed Sunday evening and whatever you choose to do. But always remember. Thank you. Brother Deontay, I receive that in Jesus' name. Remember, one day you'll be called into account. And God doesn't call us into account because He wants us to get in trouble. God wants to call us into account because He wants to reward and honor our faith. He wants to honor it here on earth, and He's definitely going to honor it in glory. But let's give Him something to honor. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. On that night in the upper room, the disciples were preparing themselves as normal, particularly for the last 3 years or 2.5 years, where they had been accustomed and wow. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's one thing about smartphones. You can get messages instantly. Hallelujah. Praise God. I want to pray for a family. Minister Denise, I don't know if you know it, but Judy went on to be with Jesus this morning. And so we will definitely lift up the family in that regards.
praise Jesus. But they were getting ready to have communion, or not communion, but at this time, Passover. And this Passover was different because this was going to be the last Passover that they would share with Jesus, unbeknownst to them, because they're still thinking that everything is just going the way it's been going and it's just going to keep on going. Even though Jesus had told them three times on the way from Caesarea Philippi back to Jerusalem, he's saying, they're going to hand me over. The religious leaders, they're going to beat me. They're going to crucify me. But on the third day, I'm going to rise. They didn't fully understand until really after it happened. After he had risen from the dead, they really got revelation. So it was that night, which was a surprise to them, because one of the opening statements that Jesus made was, "This night one of you shall betray me." They were all shocked and in awe. Peter wasn't sure if it was going to be him because he knew how extreme he was. "Lord, I'll never leave you. Even if all be made to leave you, I will not." "Peter, before the rooster crows three times, you're going to deny me." "Not so, Lord. I don't know him. I don't know him. Blankety blank, I don't know him." Not bad, huh? And Peter looks at Jesus, and Jesus looks at Peter, and he recalls those words. "You're going to deny me three times." So Peter didn't know if it was going to be him or what. You know, it's like, who? Even to the point when Judas dipped in with Jesus, and is it I? You have said it. They're thinking that Jesus has said, you know, go and, you know, take care of some money matters, if you will. They don't know until Judas goes and hangs himself, and they find out, wow, he was the one. That's what Peter shared with them in that upper room. He had to do what he did. So it was different. But what Jesus was about to do was for eternal. And so as often as we eat of the bread and drink of the cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes, and we do it in his remembrance. Jesus, thank you for being our great high priest. Thank you for being our great king. We do honor you with our lives and with our substance. We thank you that you've blessed us and you watch over us. You've saved us. Now we pray for others to come into the saving knowledge of the truth, even our family members, Lord. We do call our sons and daughters from afar. We say to the north, give them up, and to the south, don't hold them back. To the east and the west, return them, bring them back to their borders, their boundaries in Christ. We pray for revival to break forth in our city and our surrounding cities, in our neighborhoods, in our families, and even with our enemies. We hate to see any man, woman, boy, or girl, youth, or young adult perish for eternity. Let salvation reign over our land, over our cities, over our nation, and around the world, we pray. We ask this in your mighty name. So, Lord Jesus, we take the bread that represents your body, broken for us. Forgive us if we've done anything wrong. We forgive those who have wronged us. We want to eat of this bread and drink of this cup in a right manner. So bless it now, for the bread which we break is the communion of the body of Christ. Let us all eat together in Jesus' name. Amen. And let us take the cup representing the precious blood of the Lamb, shed for many for the remission of sins. For the cup of blessing which we bless, the cup of redemption, is the communion of the blood of Christ. We thank you now that it's blessed. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's drink together as a family of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Isn't that awesome? Ushers and security will come and collect the cups from you. Father, I pray for your sons and daughters that you will bless them, you will keep them, you will make your face shine upon them, you will be gracious unto them, you will lift up your count
countenance on them, and you will give them your peace, that your name be over them and their household, that you will bless them, that they may enjoy the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, and above all else, they may prosper and be in health, even as their soul prospers, that the gates of hell will not prevail against them, but they will triumph over the gates of hell, and you will crush the enemy shortly underneath their feet. Every opponent, every foe, everything that rises up against them, you will place underneath their feet and give them dominion over it. I pray, Father God, that this week will be a week of notable miracles, indisputable acts of faith. I pray that healing is released. The kingdom of God is released. Salvation, souls will be saved this week. I pray, Father, for great moves of the Spirit. I pray for open doors, Lord God. Doors that were shut will open. I pray for the prosperity and the peace of your people, as well as the peace of Israel, the peace of Jerusalem. Bless your sons and daughters in this house. Bless Israel, that we may be a blessing to this world, that the world through Jesus may be saved. We give you glory and honor and praise and thanks for this great and glorious day. And for our brothers and sisters in Christ, everyone who agreed with me said amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Bless his holy name. If there's anyone here who needs prayer, or anyone who's, you can be dismissed, anyone who's not saved and needs to get saved, meet us here at the altar. Salvation is very simple. All you got to do is repent of your sins, ask the Lord to forgive you of all your sins, cleanse you of all unrighteousness, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, and according to the word of God and according to your faith, you are saved. Right there, sitting there watching, whether it's live stream by computer, handheld, smartphone, or what have you, right there, Jesus writes your name in the Lamb's Book of Life and gives you eternal life. May you be blessed in Jesus' name. Amen.